This is the Chief and Sean Show, and we are live in the 405.
We're not live, but we are back.
We're live.
No, we're not. We are back.
And we're live.
Weekly, not live.
We're sort of live.
Okay, to everyone listening, or, well...
The people who are listening.
The few that listen, here's the deal. Speed Society is going to be hosting all of these podcasts. You're going to be seeing a ton from these guys. How big are they, Sean?
It's the biggest automotive website in the world. And I mean, they got a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, we're stoked to be working with guys like that for sure. Anytime we can align ourselves with other huge automotive people, this is perfect. So
also, stop listening now and go and like it and comment on it. And the sooner you do that, hopefully, the more podcast episodes you'll hear.
The Crow 405, Murder Nova, Midway Street Cars. Like it, comment on us, tell us who you are, tell us why you listen to it. Keep this going, please. There are people that don't want this to keep going.
There's people right now trying to put an end to this. They don't want us on the air.
And we got guys like Speed Society that want to help us keep it going, so
welcoming us.
Let's do it. Rock and roll. Help everybody out.
And while you're there, check it out. Their website's awesome.
Sean?
Yes.
What are these microphones for?
I don't know. I walked in here. I thought maybe there's a concert going on.
I feel like this is the first podcast we've ever done. It's been a long time since we've come into the meth shack and sat down to do this.
Yeah.
Why is that, Sean? Why won't you do a podcast? What is the problem? Why won't you give the people what they want?
I can't do one by myself.
Why?
I'm just not any good at it. I've tried. By myself at my house, and it was horrible.
Ew. Are we still talking about footing?
We're talking about all kinds of things.
Yes, we are back in the meth shack here, and we're going to give you what you want. Unfortunately, we haven't been here. We haven't been able to do a podcast. We've been all over the place. We've been traveling. We've been racing. We've been burning our stuff up, breaking our stuff, fixing our stuff. We've been filming nonstop and
testing
nonstop and working on it nonstop, and it is hard to get in here.
It is hard
because God damn it, Sean, this isn't what they want.
It's hard.
You've been without it for so long that you're raring to go.
Yeah,
you're pert as a rutting buck.
I'm stoked over here. I haven't been in the mess shack in a while. I mean. When we don't podcast, I just don't come in here.
No, I don't come in here either.
So, I mean, and it looks exactly like it did when we left.
Yes. Like there was a tornado or something.
Like who's supposed to upkeep this place?
FEMA?
Yeah.
It looks like FEMA should come in
here. If FEMA come in here, they'd be like, look, we're just going to bring you a trailer down.
You're done.
Park it out back.
Just move. Yeah. We're going to give you some housing allowance and you're going to move.
Yeah.
It was just a culmination of things. Culmination. Is that a word? Culmination?
Culmination.
Or is it culination? Our producer, Phantom, says it's whatever the fuck I want it to be. So there. We started filming, and so the TV crews show up at like 1 to 3 o'clock every day, and then we film with them till 1 to 3 o'clock in the morning every night.
Even on Tuesdays they do.
Yes. And then when we get off of filming at 3 in the morning, we still have to unload every car and put them in the shop and lock the shop up and then go home. So if we get to go home, so by the time we wake up and get to the shop and get reared up to go, as soon as we get here and start doing anything, then the TV crew show up again and we can't get in here to do a podcast. So it's been, and then when we do have a time off, we go out of town racing cause we're stupid.
It's like a vicious cycle.
It's a downward spiral of race car. So we are 3 weeks from American Outlaws Live. 3 weeks?
No. Yeah, 3 weeks behind.
Yeah, I know, but how many weeks are we from American Outlaws Live? You guys don't look at my notes. When was American Outlaws Live?
3 weeks ago.
That's what I fucking said, bitches.
3 weeks.
Did I not say that? We're 3 weeks from American Outlaws Live. Is that what I said?
3 weeks from it would be like it's 3 weeks from now.
No, well, it was 3 weeks ago.
It was. You're correct.
Okay, thank you.
So you was right the whole time.
Of course I was.
Yeah.
You guys were assuming I was wrong, but I wasn't.
No, not at all.
American Outlaws Live was huge.
It was
a monstrosity of an event.
It was a lot, too, though.
Good God. I mean,
we were being pulled 50 million different ways.
And normally we like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that one chick, she said she's going to pull it from the back.
Yeah, I ain't never had no shit like that. Trying to see what that feel like.
There
was a bunch there that would have, though.
Oh, man, you ain't lying.
Man, this one girl was like, anyways, I was like, there's a lot of kids around. Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
there's only so much you can do in a crowd of people.
Yeah, there isn't.
I felt like she could have done more, though.
Yeah, she wanted to. That's why I stay away from all that, Sean.
Yeah.
I try not to involve myself. I try not to involve myself with, hussies, hoochies, little tire biters everywhere. That race was ridiculous. So we had to start getting ready a week ahead of time because our cars were set up for street. Mm-hmm. And even though sometimes we're not very good at street, they were still set up for it. And we had to set them up for track.
Good track.
And then we had to drive hours away, and I got lost, as I always do. Somehow in Texas, which I've been to Dallas, Texas a million times, and every time I go there, I get lost.
Me too.
And my GPS is yelling at me, and I'm giving her the finger, and that didn't sound good either.
I got off 35.
Ooh, and I God went, dang, it's like
I know like, where are you at right
no,
now?
No, it's dude, it's we haven't done a podcast in so long. It's like we just got out of prison.
Yeah.
It's so hard our cats can't scratch it.
I got off I-35 and I went totally the wrong way, like for miles. And I had a GPS. So I'm looking at it going, wow, it's getting further away. And it took probably 8 miles down that road for me to realize it's the other way.
Yeah. Oh, well, at least you knew you were getting further away. We're driving through Dallas. We're out of diesel, as usual. And me and Monkey get off the highway. Of course, I don't look for diesel. You know what I mean? I'm not like planning. It just says you're out. And I go, oh, crap. I've been watching this movie and texting and everything else. I didn't know we're out. So I just get off the highway right there. There's no diesel anywhere to be found in this area. None. Literally no stores whatsoever. We're in an industrial area. And I'm like, hey, man, we make a hit over here somewhere. Well, I drive around until the truck's on fumes. And then Monkey looks on his phone and he's like, there is a place that says it sells fuel in this industrial complex. I'm like, what are you talking about? Sure enough, in the middle of this place is like some fuel man station that sells diesel, and it accepts public money. Like,
wow. Normally, dude, you go to those deals, you try to put your card in, and it says something about, do you have this card? And you're, nah.
Right. Do you have a legacy card?
Yeah. Nah.
And so I was like, dude, this is a gold. We struck gold here. So we pull in, we get diesel. Well, there's no store part. There's no place to get any snacks or beef jerky or gum.
Or Monsters.
Or Monsters or Black and Milds or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a problem.
It wasn't even a hood stop where you can get like a pickle or like a burrito or nothing.
Yeah, or a moon pie.
So we pump the diesel full of fuel and we pull out of there. Well, we were looking for a good place to take a leak because they didn't have an inside. We couldn't really find one, so we got lost. And then we ended up literally stopping on a main road and just standing next to the trailer back to back to take a leak.
I have to do that a lot.
And there were people just honking as they went by.
Yeah.
So, and I'm all, hey, Monday nights, check us out.
Yeah.
Well, then when I get back on the highway, somehow my GPS on the dash was upside down and I didn't realize it. So it looked like I was good.
Yes.
But I wasn't.
That's the problem with me and using my phone is it doesn't matter if you're traveling south. The map is still backwards on your phone. That's why I went the wrong way.
Yeah, me too.
You would think whichever way you're holding it or whichever way you're traveling. I mean, the phone knows which way you're traveling. You would think it would turn the map upside down.
You're supposed to know which way you're traveling too, but we don't.
But we don't.
Because there's a movie going.
But I'm not a smartphone.
And I'm not a GPS.
Nope. GPS should know that.
Right.
I've never claimed to be a GPS.
That's why we have a GPS. So I got lost. By the time we got there, it was nuts. We had to set the pit up and
that always takes a long time, but then it's always good.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get it perfect. You got to get a perfect perimeter set up. You got to get, so the drunks can't get in and set their beers on your car and
or get in it with you,
you know, and the drunk old chicks can't come in there and grab all over your junk and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, ugh. So then we get the pit set up and then we're racing literally for freaking 3 days.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. The fans though, I mean, in the midst of it all, it was an amazing event with the biggest, some of the biggest names in no prep racing ever. Mm-hmm. Lot of pro mods.
There was.
I
got a chance to drive around the first day, and I always try to take Aiden around, look at all the cars, and there was literally nothing but pro mods there.
Pro mods.
More pro mods than I couldn't believe it. I don't know where they all came from.
Pro mods.
Yes. Like full blown.
Littered with pro mods.
Yeah. PSI blower. Like pro mods.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Headhunters, bounty hunters, money chasers.
Yes.
You know, that's what was going on there. And I looked around and said, I was thinking to myself, Jiminy, Christmas. How are we going to make it past first round with these guys?
I didn't, so.
And I have a pro mod.
Yes.
You know, I just don't have a pro mod anything else.
No.
Motor or training. I got a pro mod chassis. That's about all I got.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even that much pro mod. So I pretty much thought, man, I better get drunk. Something. Because.
Our producer Phantom got drunk.
Yeah, he did.
He got drunk. And it was hot. the fans there were great. There were more kids than I usually get to see at a race. And that just, man, made my day.
Yeah.
I mean, those kids were everywhere and they were loving it. You know, their people, you know, their guy was there. You know, all your favorite Street Outlaws were there. All your favorite no preppers were there. You know, some of your favorite NHRA pro mod racers were there.
They were.
It was a big, big deal. I was a fan of a lot of the guys that I was racing. It was pretty cool. And, of course, you know, everybody gets negative. They start seeing all the pro mods. They say, oh, pro mods are taking over and pro mod this and pro mod that. And let me tell you something. Pro mods are like steroids, okay? Not that I've taken steroids.
Or know anything about
them. I never sold steroids. I've never taken steroids. But
or pushed them on your friends.
I've never.
You've never done it. You've never done any of that.
No, I haven't.
No.
But I do know that pro mods are like steroids. Yes. Do they work? Yes. That's what they're designed to do. Mm-hmm. Steroids will make you stronger. Pro mods, they help you get lighter. They're stiffer. You know, the chassis are built for racing. Steroids are a hormone that's built for making you strong and perform better in sports. Yes, that's what steroids do. That's what pro mods do. But don't get it twisted. Even if you're taking steroids, you still got to lift that heavy shit up all day and put it down. You still have to put in the work. You cannot take steroids and not do the work.
No.
It's still the same amount of work. It's just the results are different.
Yeah, and they help you achieve your goals faster.
I mean, you still have to put in the same amount of work, but like instead of dealing with a 315 bench, you may be benching 405. You know what I mean? But you still got a bench.
In a week or two.
You still got a bench. You know what I mean? And with a pro mod, you still got to work on it. You still got to test. You still got to know what the fuck you're doing. You still got to know how to work a four link and work shocks. And you still got to figure it all out. And some stuff with a pro mod is harder to figure out than others. Just like some stuff with steroids is hard. It's like, you know, like not ripping your arms off to wipe.
I feel like.
Like some things are difficult and you have to learn all those things. It's still racing. It's still working on the car. You cannot buy a pro mod chassis and just go out there and kick everybody's ass.
No.
You know what I mean?
Which a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel like, we can't do anything. You know,
there's too many pro mods here. And man, it sucked that I didn't win because I wanted to win really bad.
Yes.
But the fact that Birdman won.
That's pretty cool.
I'm just saying, check it out. Everybody says, pro mod this, pro mod that. They say a street racer ain't going to win this deal. A no prep racer ain't going to win this deal. A grudge racer ain't going to win this deal. You know, this deal, it's going to be taken over by pro mods.
By the bounty hunters.
By the guys coming in from NHRA and PDRA and ADRL.
I really thought that it was going to. I thought it was going that way.
It was looking rough, right? But. That's why it's called fucking racing.
Yes.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, and also, it wasn't really classified as a no prep. they didn't really prep the starting line, but we all know how well the starting line is after a round or two.
Right. You know? I never saw them spray the track. No, they didn't. I heard they may have sprayed it the day before we got there, but I never saw them. I never saw them spray the track. I did see them when there was an issue or there was an oil down or whatever. I did see them drag it a few times, but I never saw them spray it.
Even dragging it really helps out a lot, but, you know, the no preps that we normally go to.
It was not a normal no prep.
No, it wasn't a no prep.
I'll give you that.
At all.
It's not a normal no prep. Now, the first day when we got there, it was tough to get down just because the surface was weird and we weren't used to it. But, like, you go to Armageddon no prep at Thunder Valley or something like that, dude.
Then I don't care what pro mods are in it. I'll line my car up against any car on a true no prep.
I was going to say kind of the opposite.
Really?
Well, because, like, Armageddon and stuff, those kind of no preps, dude, some guy with a pro mod who hasn't done this before is going to see all this kind of racing and jump in there and he's going to hit you.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
chances,
I like my chances of getting to the finish line faster.
I see what you're saying. Well, see, I don't know. I like having a surface I can use my horsepower on the other end. And like Armageddon, you have to be able to leave really hard. Well, that's where the pro mod shines. You know what I mean? The first half of the track's great.
Yeah, but
it's the second half.
Most of those
sketchy
guys don't really know. They don't understand how that deal works.
That's true.
So they're still bringing power out even whenever there's no surface.
That's true.
And that's when they get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, they get way in trouble. I get in trouble out there.
Well, yeah, but
I mean, I almost crash every hit at Armageddon.
Ugh, how'd that work out for you?
Well, you know, I won the deal.
Yeah, I mean, made it all the way, you know, to the finals and then won.
And then just won the whole thing, actually. You know,
car had one pass left in it. And it was then the finals.
And it was the final, and it worked out. But at American Outlaws Live, I went to see who'd you draw first round?
That bird car. With the green Firebird on it.
Yep.
It was a pro mod. It wasn't a pro mod like some of the other ones that were there.
I don't know if it was a pro mod. It was a pro car. It was pro built. It was a good looking, you know, it was a good looking chassis. It was a good
car. And it was fast. Now, I would say that, you know,
a couple years ago, that was a pro mod.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But now the pro mods are starting to look different.
Yes.
I mean, you seen Kevin Fiske's car out there?
I did.
A pro mod. Is it a wing on the back of that thing?
That is the definition of a pro mod.
The wing on the back of that thing is.
He did really well.
Awesome. He did amazing.
He took the time to figure it out, to test.
Yeah, he won Friday night.
The race your way in.
He's a hardcore racer.
Yes.
He doesn't have some of the money that the other big teams do, but to guys like that we race with, you know, he has a really nice operation, but he's a hardcore racer. He knows what he's doing with a race car, and he's got a lot of laps in that car, and it showed. They kicked ass. Him and Johnny Drama, we call him.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy has problems.
Hey, that guy, he's party.
He is problem.
Yeah.
He is party and problem.
I sat over next to him at the starting line for a little bit, and the more we sat over there and bullshitted, the more I thought, this guy's just like us.
Yeah.
He is just like us.
Except he's on one.
Yeah.
Dude, when that car is staging, did you see how mad he was about everything?
Yes.
Everything was a giant big deal. I mean, everything. Dude, if the door didn't shut just perfectly, he freaked the fuck out.
Yeah,
he tried.
Yeah.
He was going to flip the car over.
He was running around out
there.
Oh,
man. Yeah. Good Lord. Hey, and pulling him in, he was pissed. And if the other guy wasn't already in that guy would get me into so many fights. He'd be a damn good time.
Yes.
He would be a damn good time.
Well, he was real mellow when we were sitting over there. Of course, they didn't have the car at the starting line, you know, so he's mellow. He's sitting over there. And as the cars come up, I mean, you know what we do.
We bag on everybody.
Look at that fucking car.
Look at this
pile. Look at this fucking pile.
You know, look at that four-wheel drive Camaro.
Exactly. of birds. But, you know.
It's a tragedy.
Lots of stuff that I was thinking he said, you know. And it just, he's not much different than us.
No, he was cool. I liked hanging out with him. He was cool. Yeah. But his starting line persona is out of control. He needs to be on a television show because he is a fucking wreck up there.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. He is a fucking mess.
Yeah.
He's a good time. Get some jello shots in that guy though. And you know, get him in front of a, you know, crowd of people somewhere. I bet we have a good time
for sure.
Probably, you know, go to jail a lot.
Too good of a time.
I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know. He should have went to the box car with us.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an awesome little bar. The box car. I think that was the bar where you took everybody's money playing pool, right?
I did.
Weren't you the best pool player in whatever place that was?
Well, at Bear Creek.
Bear Creek. That's
yeah, that's what I told everybody.
Yeah, you did. No, you did. You told the whole bar.
Yeah, no, I let them know.
Yep. You told the whole bar.
I said it loud enough. Everybody heard me.
You were the best.
Well, I mean, that was the vodka.
Well,
I had a little much vodka.
Really? I didn't
know. I feel
notice.
Like I did.
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing pretty good.
I was. I maintained pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good. You're on
normally there's that spot where I've had too many.
No doubt about it. That's what I was telling him.
I feel like I hit that spot. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I hit that spot of too many, but it didn't really affect my pool playing. Normally, my pool playing goes to shit.
Yeah. Well, it's just like shaking the tires.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Normally, you shake the tires, you have to abort the run.
Yeah.
But there's every once in a while, you get that pass.
You can drive,
where you can drive through,
it.
Through the shake. That's yeah. what you were doing.
I was
that
driving
night.
Through
you were
it.
Driving through the shake, no doubt about it.
I hit the chip quick, though.
Yes, you did. Like, no, as soon as we got there.
As soon as we got there, I was.
It was 9 o'clock.
Two vodkas into it, you know, and I'm already on the chip.
Yeah, they're still serving wings and shit, mm-hmm. and he's on the fucking chip over there.
Yep.
It was a good time, though. And then, so, but with Birdman winning the deal, that just kind of shows that, hey, guys, look. You can get all bent out of shape and you can throw a fit and say you're not going to race these guys and say you don't want to enter and you don't want to come out and you don't want to do things, but anything can happen. And a guy like Birdman makes it happen. You know what I mean? He takes a car that, you know, he races on the street. I mean, I just saw videos of him kicking ass, you know, and out making hits at the pad and stuff like that. The dude's a gangster as hell.
Yeah.
And he made it happen. He took a swing in the final at a freaking Pro Mod blower car and he, you know, he won.
Yeah.
So, Turbo Car won every class, I think. Is that right?
I believe so. That's what I heard.
Every class in American Outlaws Live was won by a Turbo Car?
Yep.
I mean, you know that picture of Kermit the Frog drinking the tea? That's
yeah.
me right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're telling me a Turbo Car won every class in American Outlaws Live? That's none of my business.
Yeah.
The coolest part of the weekend for me, honestly, well, other than, you know, there was some shameful stuff, you know. I felt really terrible about trying to fight some guy while all the kids were in line to get autographs, and I'm going to rush
but
through the kids.
Not about fight. Trying to fight the guy.
No, no,
just
no.
Just that the kids
I
had to see
I felt bad
it.
That the kids saw it, yeah, but, you know, sometimes you got to fight. I don't know. Sometimes you got to man shit.
Yeah.
But the coolest part was when Speed Society came over to me at the end of the race, my car's blowed up again. I mean, we race car and... Monkey, the Monkey Bros, they recruited Bob Bales, old Bobby Firepipes. I think Bob's nickname is I like Bob so much more now that he has a nickname. Like,
yeah,
I used to like Bob. I used to like Bob Bales, but I like him so much more now that he has a nickname like Bobby Firepipes. That's the coolest nickname I've ever heard.
It's a good nickname.
God.
And it fits him pretty good.
We call him Bobby Firepipes because, well, for two reasons, I think. One, because his nitrous Trans Am literally has 5-foot flames that
come out.
Out of the front bumper, too.
Yes.
And they're just monster flames.
Just rolls back over the whole car.
One kit on a conventional headed 548, and this thing will put 5 foot of flames out of the pipe.
It's like a 78 jet.
What? Yeah, I mean, I've never really seen the flames that weren't green. You know, he has green flames.
Yeah.
And green flames is, you know, that's burning aluminum. That thing's
well,
nom, nom, nom
yeah,
on
yeah,
some pistons.
Just as soon as he lets off. He came over to me while I was there, and he was like, well, fuck no, I'm not going to make any test hits. You know, if I don't make any test hits, I don't have to change any pistons.
Yeah, yeah. No, he didn't have to test. He didn't want to test.
He's not going
to
test.
Now, he only brought so many pistons.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby Firepipes is over there, and he's helping the Monkey Bros, and... Mm-hmm. We're trying to get the car turned around between rounds, and they changed the bearings in between rounds. Like, it was unbelievable. Yeah, and then the bearings were so bad that the crankshaft was tore smooth up. Bobby Firepipes. So the Monkey Bros are going. We smoked the bearings smooth out of the damn thing. Monkey Bros recruited Bobby Firepipes. They got him over there. Chandra, race car's old lady, mm-hmm. and Bobby Firepipes. They're Chandra's sanding bearings and bringing, you know, brake clean, and Bobby Firepipes is making things happen and sliding tools into there, and he's sanding bearings and making pieces of sandpaper. And then Monkey Bros are underneath it. They get the bearings out of it, and the crank's just trashed, and we didn't have any way to, you know, turn it or polish it. So race car takes a piece of sandpaper, rolls it up in the motor around the crankshaft, holding it with his fingers, and then has you hit the starter button.
Yes.
So you're cranking a motor over to turn a crankshaft so that he can polish it with a piece of sandpaper.
Yeah, and I can see the throes of the crank.
Yeah, because it has counterbalance.
Yes, like, and you get that finger anywhere close to that counterbalance, it's...
It'll take it right in there.
That's it. Just whoop! Just suck that thing's
it,
gone.
Suck it right
so,
in there.
So he's like, okay, hit it. And every time I go, boop. And I bump the starter just enough to barely turn it. And he's like, hit it, you know. And
but you didn't want to be the guy who hits it. And he goes,
the guy who hit it.
And, oh, my God, why'd you do that?
Chops his fucking finger off.
You know? Told me to. No, I didn't.
Yeah. So I kind of gave him the, are you sure?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The little boop. Are you sure?
Are you for real?
No, that's what it's going to do.
Go or?
I mean, this is what it's going to do right here.
When you say go, this is what it's going to do.
Yeah.
You just want to make sure you're ready.
And then after that, he's like, go. And he polished that whole fucking thing.
He did. He did. They did a fine job. They had bearings, new bearings in the motor, crankshaft turned.
Well, not new.
Well, no, first round. We put the first round bearings back in. Yeah, we just have to change bearings every round.
Yeah, they were just different.
Yes.
They weren't new.
New to us. You know, like a...
new for that pass.
Like a pair of underwear from the thrift store.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Already broke in.
Yep.
So... they get the bearings rolled in it. 17 minutes, I think.
Man, it wasn't very long. I mean, we had a countdown going.
Yes.
So it was ridiculous. We had like 30-something minutes to get the car to the staging lanes.
And we got done in time.
And we got done in time, you know.
To have a cookie or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, for them to eat.
So it was pretty amazing. It really was. I couldn't be more proud of my crew and our crew and what we can do together. It's if we could fix Murder Nova's tire shake, we could be something. We could really be something. You know what I mean?
I think you're on to
it. We could be really something. After it was all said and done, you raced. You had to take a swing at the bird car.
Yes.
You had to.
Yes.
I mean, we knew he was fast.
Yes.
I mean, the pass he made the night before looked like it was somewhere in the 14s.
I heard.
You know,
that's what
and
it,
your car yeah. had never been a 14.
No.
So no matter if you made a good pass or not, you still weren't going to outrun him. Like
yes.
you had to go. You had to. Babe Ruth that motherfucker.
Yes.
So, and you did, and it smoked the tires.
Exactly.
You had small tires
and
on it.
And we had a smallish tire on it.
Yeah,
you know? We had never tried that tire before.
10.5 W. Mm-hmm. The W stands for winning.
Usually.
You had a 10.5 W on it. Smoked the tires. You know, what are you going to do? You took a swing at the dude. Mm-hmm. You're probably 800 pounds heavier than him.
I'd say at least.
Yeah. So, nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
No,
I wasn't.
Yeah,
no, I wasn't.
I could tell you didn't
I
give a shit.
I was like, you know, it would have been nice to make it a couple of rounds to get, you know, a car that we've actually raced on the street or a car that is you know, around the same caliber as mine, you know, and maybe make it a couple of rounds. But, you know, it didn't happen.
That's racing.
It is.
You know, that's what sucks about racing.
Yeah.
That's racing. First round, I was, who did I get first round? I got Swamp Thing.
Was that first round? It was because my car was in the staging lanes.
I got Swamp Thing from first round. Long Top
yes.
or whatever. Nova Wagon from, I think, Mississippi or New Orleans, Louisiana, somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's got a really cool paint job on it. It looks like it's old and
it
beat
does.
Up, but I think it's a carbon body or fiberglass
it
body.
Is.
I mean, it's
is.
It's a you know, really nice car. Very, you know, very update kind of fiberglass or carbon fiber, lightweight deal.
Well, and it ran better than what I thought. I mean...
Yes.
Because I actually outran that guy at Outlaw Armageddon. I drew him first round at Outlaw Armageddon, and I outran him. And I've always...
they've been doing something.
That's all that they've said was, oh, well, it runs way better now. And, you know, you always hear that, but it actually does.
No. Yeah, I was...
Because you only beat him by what? Three cars?
Well, yeah, it's a finish line.
Okay.
I don't know. It wasn't... I don't know. I don't think I was in it to the finish line.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. But still... That's
yeah,
not.
I was trying to save some bearing material
exactly,
for the next round.
Exactly.
But,
we got this one, you know, yeah. lived to race
But
again.
I didn't take him lightly, you know, because I'd heard he was faster. And I was actually talking to Skelton with the Corvette from down that way. And I was bullshitting with him. I had no idea he's 9 foot tall.
God dang.
I talk shit to that guy on the internet all the time. Seen him in person. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Well, how's the weather up there, pal?
Man.
I didn't think you could. I didn't think there were street racers taller than David Bird Jones.
It was a long ways.
I thought he was the tallest there was.
He had a foot almost on David Bird.
He was tall. Like he was like borderline giant looking tall. You know. I mean, huge motherfucker. And I was like, how the hell does he race that Corvette? You know, Jesus. But I was talking to him a little bit, and I was like, man, how's that long top car run? He goes, oh man, you know. He said, I've raced him on the street before, but it runs a lot better now than it used to. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I don't know if he knew I was running him or not, but I was trying to, you know, pick him for some information. And he kind of told me what I needed to know. So I went to the starting line, and I didn't take any chances. I let it eat pretty good, and I couldn't hear him over there. So
yeah, no, you know, you had him.
I had to pedal it once on that one, I think, but the track got better after that.
But there wasn't really any cars there that you could just go, eh, fuck it.
No ducks. Yeah. No. That bird car got the first duck. Bird car. Yeah, the Trans Am Firebird with the green Firebird on the hood and stuff.
He did. He was the guy who goes, who'd y'all get? We got fucking Murder Nova, man. Hell yeah. That's what he said over there. You know? Which I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
You've been in that spot before?
I have. And it usually backfires on you when you're in that
does.
Spot.
Yes, it does.
It has backfired on me a couple of times. Yes. I've drawn people before and I go, yes.
Yeah. And then get fucked up.
And then get fucked up.
Well, then next round, we go up to draw, and I got called out by, oh, shit.
Was it the
next
round?
I don't think we're allowed to do this. Are we allowed to do this?
Probably not. Yeah, we probably shouldn't say anything else.
I'm
That's
not
fine.
Allowed to do this. I can't really say that John Doe called me out the next round and I beat him, because that's going to be on the show that we're not allowed to talk about. Yeah. So we're not going to talk about any of that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just stop it there.
Yeah. Especially like, yeah.
Don't talk about you beating John Doe.
Or Kai Kelly.
I know. Don't say it.
Okay. I'm not going to say it.
From here on out, we'll just talk about how great the fans were.
I'm not going to talk about, because I don't want anybody to know that on the show they're going to see me beat three Mississippi cars or New Orleans cars or whatever.
Yeah. Wherever they're from, wherever they claim to be from that day.
Okay. So now that you don't have to edit it out, cause we didn't say it. We didn't tell them anything. We kept it to ourselves. We're smarter than that. We're not going to let them shut us down.
Nope.
Not again.
Never again.
Never again. Never
not
forget.
Not fucking leaving.
Never forget. After it was all said and done, how cool was it that Speed Society brought over two of the pistons out of my old car, and I got to give them away to some kids. And so Charlie comes over from Speed Society, and he's like, hey, man, we were supposed to give these pistons away, but they ran out of time, and the event was crazy, and we weren't able to get in the tower and make it happen. So he's like, here, just give them to whoever you want. Well, there's a pretty good crowd in front of our pit area, and I was like, well, how am I supposed to, you're the one supposed to give them away, that, you know, they're not even mine anymore. He's like, yeah, but you know, we're leaving. And I was like,
yeah, they're okay. Done.
And so he said, here, just throw them to somebody, give them to somebody. He's like, throw them up in the air. I'm like, throw them up in the air. They're pistons. What if they come down? They'll crush some little kid's head. Like, what are we? We're not going to do that, right? He's like, I don't care what you do with them. Well, I look, and you know, there's a pretty good group of kids there in front of our pit area, like there was all week, which is amazing for a drag race to see that many kids in front of the pit area all week. And there was one kid that I wanted to give it to that was there all weekend. That one kid was there all weekend. He knew everything about my car.
He did.
He followed me all the way to the staging lanes, and he knew everything. He's like, hey, Chief, is that thing still, the boost controller still run on mile per hour? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, is it still mile per hour based boost controller? And I was like, what are you, seven? How do you know this? He knew everything.
He knew a lot about your car. He knew what motor was in it. He knew what gears were in your transmission. Yes, he knew a lot
more than most people know about the car. So I wanted to give him one, but he wasn't there anymore. He went home. I told Speed Society that, and I got a text message from Charlie a couple days ago. They're actually finding that kid. I think they found that kid, and they're going to give him one of the other pistons.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
How are they going to find that kid?
I don't know.
There's not a lot to go off of.
Private detectives, maybe? Or... Cool. I don't know. Face recognition?
I couldn't. If I saw the kid again, I wouldn't know. I saw so many kids. So.
So I had two pistons to give away. There was a bunch of kids there, and I was just like, man, how do you decide who gets the two pistons? Yeah. You know, I mean, what kind of asshole am I to just give it to one of the kids and one of the kids didn't get it? You know, or what if you give it to a kid who's got a little brother? And what if he's not even my fan? He's somebody, he's just hanging out with his brother who is my fan. Like, I don't want to do that, you know? So I said, we're going to, you know, like in the movie Heartbreak Ridge. They said, how are we going to figure this out? He says, match up. Yep. They take their shirts off and get in the pond and fight.
Yep.
Well, there wasn't a pond, and I wasn't going to have the kids fight.
Yeah. Got to have them do something.
Race. Race off.
Race.
I'm the race master. So we raced. We set it up across our pit and Monza's pit, and the kids had to race across the finish line, and the winner got a piston, and then just because it's not fair, the kids were a lot of different ages. It would have been a real dick move to say.
Did the loser one too?
No, because that's no. I thought about that. I was going to say the first place and last place gets one, but then you're going to get kids who don't try.
But you don't tell them that.
Oh, well, I wanted to tell them. I wanted them to know that the winner and second to last gets the piston. And that way, I give it to the kid who just didn't give up. He was second to last. He should have gave up a long time ago, but he didn't. You know what I mean? It was neat. So a really little kid who was second to last got a piston, and then a really fast kid got a piston. He was so fast, though, that there was two kids that tied. We had to do a runoff. There were three kids that tied. We had to do a runoff. Docs.
Where the hell was I? Really?
I don't know. You're probably off gallivanting with horse.
Probably.
We know how you are.
Yeah, we do.
I'm over here trying to work with kids. And
uh-huh. Yeah. Everybody believes that.
Well, three kids tied, and Doc's crew guy with the beard, mm-hmm. He was one of the judges, and then Doc's other crew guy with the...
Yeah.
He was the other crew guy. Those guys called the finish line, and three kids tied. We had to have a runoff, so we re-ran them, and the kid that
just
won...
Just back to
back. I mean, hey, didn't even let them cool down
Hell
or
yeah.
nothing.
Hell yeah.
Get your shit back to the starting line. Yep. We flagged it off again, and... the kid that won, his name was Taryn. His last name was Streets. Yes.
Taryn Streets.
I said, man, is his middle name up? Wow. That's pretty cool. His name was Taryn Streets. So I told these two kids, here's your piston, you know, for winning or whatever. And I told them that one day when they're old enough or their parents are okay with it or whatever, you show up at my shop with one of those pistons and I'll take you to a race. You know what I mean? So hopefully they stay into drag racing. You know what I mean? Hopefully they use that piston as a ticket to get into a drag race, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it'll be cool if you know, because that's the whole goal here. The goal is to drag race for the rest of our lives.
Yes. And
get
those kids.
The goal is to make money in this hobby so that we don't have to go back to work. You know, the goal is to make money drag racing, make drag racing great again, all that crap, you know? So the only way you're going to do that is
get more people involved.
And
get young people
future
involved.
Yeah, you got to have that future. So like all the people that were at that event, we already got their money, you know, so we want the kids' money. So you do things like that, hopefully keeps kids into drag racing, and we can keep doing this, and those kids will buy tickets and t-shirts and cotton candy and everything, and
possibly,
you know,
even cars, be out there racing with us.
Yeah, and then we could take their money.
Yep. Yep. And tell them how bad they suck. Should have built a better car.
Exactly. So that was the American Outlaws live event. I thought it went great. We had a great time. $75,000 got handed to Birdman, and he deserved it, man. He yep. worked his ass off till the finals. So I got beat by Lutz in the semifinal. Oh yeah, you can't talk about it. Stop it. Stop talking
you
about
probably
it.
We should go ahead and cut that part.
No, we
out.
Don't edit it. Don't edit. It's on the internet. They can. It's public knowledge.
It is public.
Yeah, it's public. No, it's on the webs.
It is.
So, but we just shouldn't talk about it.
No.
So we're not going to.
We're done.
We didn't talk about
it. That's it.
No. That's all you get.
No more.
No. You just have
we
to
won't
wait.
Do it.
You just have to wait and see it
we're
on
TV. We're not going
to.
We don't care.
We don't care how bad. About it. No. Have to wait and see it on TV.
Yep.
On that show.
Exactly.
New Murder Nova. What's the scoop on the New Murder Nova? I can tell it's a good subject. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this. You sound excited. Sound great.
I'm going to be excited. One day, I'm sure. Just, you know how it is. You know how it is building a new car.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Just everything takes longer than what you think.
Yep. Wait till you crash it. Wad that motherfucker up.
Hell yeah.
Put it in your back pocket.
Yep.
Wait till that happens.
I won't build another one, I promise you.
What are you going to do?
I'll buy
yeah,
a car.
Yeah, you will, motherfucker. I know you will. Once you build one,
this
you're not.
This is it.
Hey, yeah, this is it.
I'm telling you right now, everybody, I mean, a lot of people ask, why are you doing this instead of, you know, getting a pro mod and all that stuff? It's because this is, I'm trying to build my dream car.
Yes.
And you built your dream car.
You damn right I did.
Okay. And would you do it again?
Fuck no.
Okay. I probably won't ever do it again.
Hell no.
So this is my one time.
That
I mean,
was the
am
most
I building something
stressful
that,
shit.
Yeah. Am I building something that's probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago? Probably. But it's what I want, you know? And
it just sucks because when you build something like this, by the time you get it done, it's going to be behind.
Well, and I've already thought about changing shit. You know, I've thought about putting a strut front end on it already, you know? And,
but then what's the point though? Then it's a pro mod. Might as well be a pro mod then.
Well, I mean,
it's not, you're not back half anymore.
A lot of stuff underneath on this car is basically, you know, I've looked at a lot of shit on your car and I have made mine, you know, used parts that's on your car for my car. So basically underneath this thing, it is a pro mod, but you know, hopefully it'll be about 600 pounds lighter than what my car is.
Yeah.
Now.
Even the cars that are left that are steel bodied, they are pro mods underneath. I mean,
they
come
are.
On guys.
I mean, the dimensions and everything from the outside of the car is the same.
I mean,
you get this thing, you look on the inside of this car or you get it up in the air.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
looks like a pro mod.
They got steel.
But it's a back half.
it's a back half pro mod.
It's a true back half.
Yeah. It's a true back half pro mod.
It's not even a true back half. No. Your frame rails went all the way to
my
the back.
My car was a true back half.
So I can't really say it's a true back half, but it is a back half.
Yeah, it's a back half. Whatever. I mean, nowadays all you got to have is 12 inches of factory frame rail on the front and
a little bit more than that.
Set of spindles, and they call it a back half.
Yes.
So whatever. You could just actually, nowadays, I think you can just rivet some frame rails in there somewhere.
Yes.
Or put them in the trunk. I don't even know if you have to have them like on the car.
They just got
to
be with the car.
They could be in your pocket.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be on the car yeah. with the car.
Ugh,
so,
anyway.
But the motor is supposed to be, it's in the build room right now. I'm still wondering about that whole deal, but it's in the build shop right now. Proline said it would be ready this week or next week.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good, right?
Yeah. I mean,
your progress. Progress.
Yeah. Progress is being made.
Hopefully
Don says I'll have the car in 2 weeks from him.
Two
and then, you know,
weeks.
We gotta do all of our shit to it.
2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks. Hopefully you don't get it together and have bearing trouble.
That I would hope
suck.
Not.
That would suck. Just would. Saying. Not that I know anything about it, but that would yes. suck. I haven't been able to make more than 5 passes on my car without tearing up the bearings. We don't know why. We still don't know why. We don't know. We have no clue. We're stretching.
It's not from a lack of changing shit.
Yeah.
To
I
see
mean,
if that
I'm,
fixes it.
I'm starting to think maybe that it's because I checked the tires after the last race and the front tires, one was 35 and one was 38.
Uh-oh.
Starting to think maybe that's throwing something
that's
off.
That's never good. Especially on that rigid of a frame.
Yeah, the other car, it didn't bother it so much. But this car, the frame's really rigid. Yeah. You know,
well, the other car
so.
Was a back half car.
Yeah. So I'm starting to worry, you know. And
yeah.
So, you know, next time I go out, I'm just going to make sure that, make sure it's good.
Yeah.
You know,
I would. I'd keep an eye on that.
So, I took the motor. I mean, we've had it all over the place. We've, you know, because we fix it wherever we're at. So
yes.
we have people look at it all over the time, you know, all over the place, all the time. Well, I had to race last weekend on the street and I didn't have time to haul it out to Butler's. And so I took it to Rear Morrison in Arlington, Texas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And talk about a cool experience, man. Like, I've got to do some cool stuff in this car thing, but, you know, growing up drag racing and watching drag racing and loving drag racing, Rear Morrison is like a, you know, big deal. That's an iconic name,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
That was pro stock. You know what I mean? That was pro. That was original pro. That was like when in the heyday, Rear Morrison was it. And, you know, you had guys like Lee Shepherd and Bruce Allen. I mean, you had guys out of that shop, David Rear, you know, these were the guys. These were the ones who paved the way for horsepower.
Innovators.
You know, innovators. Yes. Yes. They were the guys who were trying things with horsepower. Like mm-hmm. the whole world says, that's never going to work. And they tried it anyway, you know, and they tore up a lot of shit doing it. And
yeah,
just like
fast.
Just like when people are telling me every day, that Pontiac ain't never going to run, you know. Even David Rear told me not to run the Pontiac.
Yeah.
But at some
and he seems pretty smart.
Yeah. But at some point, that's how he got to where he is yeah. by not listening to everybody else and doing his own shit, right? So that's what I'm doing. So, and I told him that, and, you know, we had a great conversation, and it was cool just to be in that build room and just to be in that shop. And, you know, because that deal started like a one bay deal where he like slept and did head work in there, him and Lee Shepherd and those guys, you know. And I got to see, now of course nowadays it's Darren Morgan back there, and he's really back there, you know. Yeah. And Darren Morgan's back there, and Brad Morgan's working on the engines, and, you know, it was so cool. You walk in the door, and as soon as you walk in the door, they let you know right away that they're fucking good at it. And I'm not even joking.
That's what you should have said. First, well, I know you're good. That's why I'm here.
No. They don't have to tell you.
They tell people.
Between the front door and the front counter, there isn't any more space left because of all the wallies.
Yeah.
The whole wall, both sides, wow, lined with NHRA and IHRA championship wallies, trophies. I mean, you walk in the door and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
You know, I think that's to let you know. Don't ask the price, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't afford it.
If you got to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah. You want a Wally or no? Nah?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You want to kick everybody's ass?
Yeah. And there's articles all over the place about what they had done and tried and learned and, you know, how no one could catch them, blah, blah, blah. I mean, dude, it was cool, man, you know?
I bet.
It was iconic. It was a special moment for me just because, being a horsepower guy and a tuner and stuff like that, you know, and it was pretty neat to get to meet those guys. And so they said, yeah, pull your bucket of shit around back and we'll get your junk out of it and look at it. And so I did. I backed up to the door, you know, and Brad Morgan's out there and he's helping me. And thank God I had a good word through these guys with Chris Bell, our shot guy, because, dude, otherwise I don't think they would have looked at it, you know, like, because they come out there and they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I said, what's a Pontiac?
What do you got here?
And they're like, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're unloading it, and I'm trying to tell them about my bearing trouble, what's going on, trying to like clue them in on what kind of issues I'm having. And obviously they've heard it all. Mm-hmm. They've seen it all. You know what I mean? Like they don't even really care what I have to say, because I'm probably wrong. Because if I knew what I was talking about, I would have already fixed it.
Yeah.
So they're just going to look at this thing on their own and figure it out. And that's what they do. And I felt confident with that, you know? So, and, I got a tote there with my rods and pistons in it, and the rod bearings and stuff are still in it. And David Rear comes out, and, you know, you can tell, like, he's not turning much wrenches anymore, you know,
yeah,
because he's
yeah.
made it, he's done it, you know, but he still fucking loves motors. And that's all he talked about the whole time I was there. I couldn't believe it, man. The whole time I'm with these guys, go to lunch with them, I'm in the shop with them, they're working on the motor. The whole time I'm there, that's all they talked about. They didn't talk about anything but motors, engines, horsepower.
They still love it.
I mean, they're ate up with it. And that's what I told him. I said, God damn, don't y'all talk about anything but horsepower and engines? And he was like, kind of looked at me, and he goes, well, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, no, I'm just
No, I'm good with it.
Like, you know, you meet those guys and you always wonder, like, are you going to get the guy who's like, fuck race cars.
Yeah,
fuck race.
Look,
that
I
shit,
do this
yeah.
shit for a living. I don't want to talk about it with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and you get those guys who they've done it, you know, and they don't want to do it. They don't want to talk about it anymore. It's like over for them. Like, yeah. you know, and I've met guys like that in this hobby, you know, but then man, when
like
you
that.
Meet guys like him and he's just nonstop about racing and horsepower and drag racing and history and stuff like that. I mean, David Rear used to street race. You know what I mean? I mean, he got a fucking pistol pulled on him for $50 at a street race one time, you know? And he's like telling me, he's like, well, I don't understand, you know, how y'all got so organized, because we just meet at the car wash and then we drive out in the road and do it, you know? And I'm like, yeah. No, that's
yeah,
how we started too.
Exactly.
But eventually the cops figure that out. It's yeah. not, you're not very inconspicuous hanging out at the car
no,
wash.
Not with these cars.
So it was just awesome to listen to those guys talk about motors all the time. And well, David Rear walks out of the shop and I'm standing there next to my pickup and he leans over and he looks in the pickup. He don't look at the block. He don't look at the crank. He doesn't look at the box, doesn't look at my truck, doesn't look at me, nothing. Walks right out there, looks in that tote, leans over my truck, and starts inspecting the rod bearings. And
it's
I was
good
like,
you had those in there.
I was like, well, I said, well, they told me to bring them.
Oh.
No. They know.
Yeah.
And I said, well, he's looking at him. He's all, And I was like, well, no, those rod bearings are fine. I was like, I'm not tearing up rod bearings. It's the main bearings. He goes, oh, no, I know what you're tearing up. And I was like, okay. And he's like, well, I watched that show, and you're supposed to be some super tuner. I was going to look at them rod bearings and tell you you ain't. And I was like, uh-oh, you know. And I said, well, what do you think? And he said, it ain't the tune-up. And I was like, okay. But we're okay then, you know. So he reassured me that it wasn't my tune-up tearing this thing up. And I'm starting to question myself, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, dang. This is bad.
Dang.
You know, the definition of insanity. You know what I mean? You keep putting bearings in this thing, and you're grabbing at straws for every little thing. Man, that was probably it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, man.
And then you start explaining it to somebody, and it's like you're talking them into it because you want them to go, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
That's probably it.
That's what I do with my tire shake.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm at. I mean, I have no idea what it is. So they look over the motor. They told me what all was wrong with the motor, and they told me what was wrong with the oiling system, and they helped me get back on track, and, they basically told me that I've, you know, abused it and beat the crap out of it. I wasn't very nice to it.
But we knew that.
And I need to be a little nicer to it and take a little better care of my shit, basically. And so we had some good ideas, and they've improved on the oiling system a little bit in the motor. They're used to that oiling system because of the Hemi stuff that they do that has the same terrible oiling system that the Pontiac motor does. So, you know, I think we're in a better place with it now, but we're still having other issues with the growing pains with the car that we haven't been able to address because we're worried about the motor all the time. So I'm not able to work on the car or make test hits or, you know, learn anything because every time I make a hit, we got the fucking oil pan off of it. We're covered in oil, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, dude, my vehicles are starting to look like, I've been eating fried chicken everywhere. Cause dude, the damn armrests are just slicker and shit. The seats are so slippery with oil because we're just covered in it all the time. So there's a constant film of oil in my car. I mean, you open the door, you slide right out of that damn thing. You know, the steering wheel's covered in oil. I mean, dude, it's getting bad around here. And Sealed Power is probably wondering, why are they running out of Pontiac main bearings?
Yes.
So we're not sure what the deal is with it, but we're optimistic, and I appreciate all the different pictures and ideas of people on telling me how to fix my main bearings, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's some fucking good ones, guys.
Yeah, I get the same thing.
There is some good ones.
Figuring out why your tire shakes.
Yeah, there's some good main bearing questions.
Yeah.
One guy sent us a picture. I mean, he built a CNC billet chunk 2-inch spacer that goes in between the block and the oil pan that actually has you run oil through it, and then it has small lines that go to the main caps to priority main oil the motor. And I'm like, whoa, like you took it another level. And but I mean, if I keep going, maybe I'll be building one of those. But a lot of good ideas on that shit. It's pretty funny to listen to everybody try and help me out. That's really cool, you know, but none of it's really helping. So
So thanks anyway.
But I did get to go in the cylinder head room where Darren Morgan builds cylinder heads, ports cylinder heads. Lee Shepard used to port cylinder heads. I mean, you know, it's so cool. It's so iconic. It's such a big fucking deal that even the crank guy, Tony, the old man in the back who doesn't watch TV, has no idea who I am, doesn't give a shit, yelled at me the whole time about what I've done to this poor motor, made me feel terrible, and worked on these main caps for hours to get them perfect with a hand file and everything else. I mean, this guy was legit. I mean, legit. And he may not even ever finished high school. I don't know, but he doesn't have like a formal education, but he's a damn metallurgist. Like, he knows metals and he knows things about metals normal people don't know. And he knows them because he's cut on them all his whole life.
Yeah.
He has cut these metals with different dies and tools and grinders. And he knows, he can look at a chunk of metal and tell you, hey, that's soft. That's, you know, he can tell you it's good, tell you it's bad, tell you the makeup of it. I mean, dude, these guys are amazing. Well, even him, when I was going back there into that headport room, even he's like, I don't even go back there. And I'm like, why? He's like, phew. I mean, that's like my Graceland, you know? And I'm like, really? He's like, Lee used to port heads in there. And I'm like, dude, so you feel this? So you work here and it's like that, you know? Like, it was cool as hell, man. It was a neat little trip. Till the bill And then you start to figure out.
Yeah.
Why they have all those Wallys.
Yeah, and why people ask questions.
And why. And now you figure out why their shelf is, you know, running out of engines all the time. And those guys are selling motors and they're innovating new things. I mean, I think they had three dyno rooms in there. I mean, big deal. It was a really big deal. All the guys there were super cool, super nice. Everybody was really cool. Everybody, it was awesome. It was a good experience for sure. The only thing I got out of the deal was David Rear bought me lunch. I think. I'm not sure. I think either that or we ran out on the tab. I can't tell.
Did you check your bill? You may have bought all theirs.
He may have put it on my invoice.
You may have bought all theirs.
Son of a... I didn't even check.
Yep.
God, that'd be a good way to do it, though.
I know some of them engine builders, they don't forget it a penny.
No. Yeah, that's the Dillard tax.
That's the Dillard tax.
Pro-Line Racing. Yep. Yep. Eric Dillard, yeah.
You remember 3 months ago when you was at that race and you needed that oil pressure sensor?
Yeah, but when you're there, it's no big deal.
Exactly.
When you're there, he's like, what's going on, guys? And, you know, yep. Eric, he comes over.
No, we got one of those.
He comes over. He's just cool and calm and collected. Yep. He's just soft. He's like, hey, what's going on, guys? And it's like, oh, man, we ain't got no oil pressure. The oil pressure sensor's bad. Oh, you guys need one?
Guys, run over there and get one.
Yeah, go over to the trailer and get you one.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh,
and you know, he does that to everybody there.
It's like, sweet, thanks. Man, Eric's a good guy. Yep.
And then you get that
oil pressure sensor in, and you make it, and you're like, hey, we got oil pressure. And Eric's like, good deal. And you're like, thanks, Eric, you're the man.
Yep.
And then you leave, and by the time you get home, there's a fucking invoice in the mailbox.
And you know he does that to everybody.
Yeah. And you get it, and you get charged, you know, a fair price because it's at the racetrack.
For him bringing it.
And, you know, he brought it to you.
Yep.
And it's like, damn it, Eric. But next time you see him, he's, hey, what's up, guys?
Yep.
How's everything going?
So, you know, that boost sensor took a shit on me.
Hey.
You know, but I got another boost sensor.
But you're happy that you paid the bill.
Yep.
Because the next time you see him, you need something.
Yeah.
And he's got a trailer full of it. Yep. And he is, it's always nice to know when you've paid your bill with ProLine because if Carrie comes over, you're screwed.
Yep.
If they send Carrie over, you're not getting it.
Yep.
I like it.
Fucking so new motor or
what?
You going to keep on patching that one?
Well, I don't have a new one.
So what's the deal?
What's the deal with my motor? I don't know what it is. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Something new, something different, something else.
No. Why?
I just wondered.
Just because I can't fix it?
No. Hey, sometimes things are broke.
It's broke. It's damn broke. Yeah. I just don't know, man. I mean,
it didn't like the Pro Mod.
Oh, whatever. That's what everybody says. I don't think it did. Maybe it didn't like the crash.
That,
you know what I mean?
Probably didn't like the crash.
I know. I didn't like the crash. I'm still broke from the crash.
Yep. So is the motor.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to be smarter because of it. And when I figure it out, it's going to make more power, and it's going to be even faster. And then all you fuckers will be even in more trouble with my little Pontiac 455. I don't know, man. It's tough for me because I learn a lot by having a punk motor. I've gotten a lot of where I am by having a punk motor.
I have to get the best out of everything else that you got.
Yes, I have to work harder because I have a punk ass motor.
Yeah.
And it sucks because now even because I have a Pro Mod, people are like, oh, he just went and bought him a Pro Mod. Yeah. Now he's going to beat everybody. No, you don't understand.
No.
I still have to work just as hard, if not harder, on this car than I did my old car. It's stupid,
man.
Mine's
the opposite. I got way more power than what I need, and the rest of the stuff don't work. So.
Yeah, we got different problems.
Yes.
We got different problems. But, I mean, motor problems are the toughest for me. Oh. You know what I mean? They suck so bad. But I don't know what would be worse, having a motor that's worth a fuck and a car that shakes, and you just can't fucking figure it out and you can't fix it. Or having a car that's really good but no motor to make it fly because you can't figure it out and you can't fix it. We should team up.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about teaming up?
I have. I've thought about
Find that. You a good buddy that you get along with and spend
Somebody
a lot
got
of time.
A good car?
And spend a lot of time with and you got a good car and you got a good motor. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm starting to wonder if we're not better as a team.
Yeah.
You know, like Batman and Robin.
Who's Batman?
Well, I don't know. Who do you want to be?
I like black. I like
I know
black
you
black.
Do. So does Robin.
So you're Robin.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about it.
Okay, so let's find another eulogy another or analogy. Duo. We could be the Judds.
Who's Ashley?
Who's the fat one?
Who's Ashley?
We could be Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Vin Diesel and Paul Walker.
Who got all the shit that was left over?
Vin Diesel and Paul Walker?
Yeah. So who's dead?
Yikes. Paul Walker's dead.
Damn.
It's a touchy subject with me. I don't want to talk about it either. What about what is another good duo? Scooby-Doo and Shaggy? I could be Shaggy.
Shit. I'm Shaggy.
Oh, yeah, you have to, yeah.
You'd a dog.
I'd be a dog.
You'd a dog.
But you'd have to start smoking. Because yeah. You know Shaggy don't dress like that for fun.
No, no.
Ride around in that van all day.
It's always 420 for him.
I don't know of any other good duos that we could be.
No.
Nothing? You got nothing? John and Kate? Plus eight? Yeah, I think we're screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, we could be Shane and Bob.
Ugh.
Yeah, we couldn't be Shane and Bob.
I'd be Bob.
That's the only time that works. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix it. Somehow, if I can't fix it, then we're going to team up and I'll borrow your motor and you borrow my car. We'll ride in it together.
Yeah. Put a seat over there. You know, something that I can
sit
in.
No, ride it like a motorcycle.
Yeah. Backwards. I'll get in backwards.
Gross. So gross. Okay. Anything else, Phantom? How long has it been? I tell you what. It's been good, but I say we try and come back and do another one of these with a special guest later this week because we really fucked the podcast listeners out of this deal.
We did.
If anybody even listens anymore,
Thursday.
They may not even listen anymore.
I know. They may have gave up.
Well, I don't need you to do a podcast.
That's fucked up.
It is. Robin would never leave Batman to do the podcast by himself.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I say we give him another one soon. Bring in a special guest. Let's do that. So, podcast listeners, if there's anybody left that's still listening, let us know who you want in the studio, in the mess shack.
We'll try to make it happen
We're going
to
make it happen some point. At some time.
Thursday morning.
Sometime.
Thursday? Thursday? Or
later
early.
This week.
Bright and early, you know.
Soon.
Ten-ish.
Soon.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah.
Sometime. Don't hate us, podcast listeners. We're sorry we suck. We really are. We're sorry. Please don't hate us. But you know,
we are dirtbag street racers.
You knew what you signed up on this deal. I mean, you really did. I mean, if you know what this shit is. You know, don't play. You know who we are. Guaranteed to have a good time.
Before you started listening.
Yeah, you can't change us.
Yep.
Everybody says don't let fame change you. We ain't.
We ain't.
We still don't show up anywhere we're supposed to be.
Because if it changed us, we'd be here.
Yep. And just like we probably won't be later this week for that special guest. See ya!